Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, lovely people. This week on the pod, Bridie and I had the pleasure of speaking with Casey Donatello, and we dive into the world of hot wifing. Surprisingly enough, something I didn't know a whole lot about. This is kind of like an old school throwback episode of Turn Me On, where Casey brings us into her life, and we dive into the intricacies of hot wifing, which, if you're not aware, is a form of consensual non-monogamy. And she goes deep, you know, explaining the differences between hot wifing and cuckolding and what's a stag and vixen relationship. Super eye-opening, very fascinating, and of course, I'm sure you'll love it just as much as we did. So buckle up, and we'll see you on the other side. Looking forward to sitting down with our guest today, Casey Donatello. The reason why I'm looking forward to this is because I think we're going to be covering something that I don't think I have a grasp whatsoever on, which is hot wifing.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I've heard the term before many times, and I feel like maybe I understand what it is. Okay, how about this, Casey? Can you tell me the difference between being cucked or cucking and hot wifing? And is there any intersection or what's going on here?
Well, okay, so a lot of times when you want to define something, depending on who you ask, you might get a little bit of a different answer, or if you Google it, you'll find different definitions. But for me, hot wifing is kind of the big umbrella where a wife is allowed to have sex with other guys, or it could be women, but typically speaking, she's fucking other guys, and the husband is aware of it, approves of it, knows about it. A cuck, specifically, is a certain type of dynamic where the husband wants to be humiliated. There's, you know, that aspect of it. He might not be playing. He might be caged and not allowed to come. He might be doing cleanup duties. But there's definitely that power shift where he is seen as a little more submissive and the guy coming in would kind of be the alpha. But my husband and I are a stag and vixen couple where we don't have that level of humiliation or anything like that. Like, a stag needs a lot of respect and he shares his wife just because he enjoys it. It makes him happy to see other guys getting pleasure for her, but there is nothing that a stag is lacking sexually. Like, he can totally satisfy his own wife. He just really enjoys sharing her, and in return, she gets off performing for him, and then they have really great sex together afterwards. So I think that a stag and a cuck are both part of the hot wife family. It just depends on how your behavior is and your relationship with the husband and the wife is, if that makes sense.
Okay. And you would never, this is also new for
me. It would be
stag,
very
Jackson.
Offensive to treat a stag like a cuck. That is going to be like the best way to make me not want to fuck you is if you approach my husband as if he were a cuck. So it's really important to know the type of couple that you are getting involved with, to know what their expectations are and what, you know, their rules and boundaries are, because that respect factor is going to really be a game changer in, you know, how you deal with people. So it's not a one size fits all dynamic for people. There's different ways. And then you can also have, so like a stag and vixen in our dynamic, my husband does not play. He just shares me, but he's always with me when I play. So every date I go on, he is there watching or participating. Then you can have a hot wife couple where the husband sends the wife out on her own. She has sex with a guy and then comes back to her husband. So there's a lot of different variations. And some people might float, you know, in and out of different arrangements. We're pretty strict on what our situation looks like.
Okay.
Fascinating. Okay.
I have lots of questions, but I want to just quickly ask about the participating or not participating aspect of, like, say, going on dates. If you go on a date and he's not participating, is he, like, right at the table with you, or would he, like, sit at the bar and observe from a distance? Or does he need to be able to hear all the exchanges as well?
Generally, when we meet somebody for the first time, if we meet them at a bar, it's the three of us hanging out together the entire time. And he is always present for the play session. And in the play session, he might actually be involved in the threesome, or he might just be watching me with the other guy. Or if there's multiple guys, he probably just watches. So he doesn't have like a specific way of determining what he's going to do. It's really just based on his mood, what's happening. Mm-hmm. If we are with one person, there's a good chance that it's going to be an active threesome with all of us. If it's, you know, three or four guys, he's probably just going to watch, because it's a lot for him to take in visually, and he enjoys, you know, seeing the commotion. And he also feels that if we are on a date with multiple guys, he doesn't want to have sex with me and take time away from the other guys to enjoy me, which sounds really funny to a lot of people. He's like, this is your time with her. I live with her. So, you know, enjoy her. But then the guys will be like, Jason, come on. Don't you want to, like, get involved? So it really just depends on the vibe. Maybe he's really tired that night and he just wants to watch. You know, that's the kind of beauty of it, is that it's always going to be different. And that's the exciting part, right? If we go on 50 dates, they're all going to end up with 50 different variations of hot wifing. So it keeps you on your toes. It stops it from getting boring. And it's kind of this like cat and mouse game between me and my husband, because he's definitely a voyeur and I'm definitely an exhibitionist. So I like to push his buttons while I'm playing with these other guys and do things that I know are going to get him so turned on that he's going to want to play with me, like, while they're there. Like, that's my goal, is to get him to participate. And, you know, he'll be holding my hand. He'll be, you know, playing with my hair while somebody's fucking me. Like, even if he's just watching, he is still highly involved. It's not like he's just sitting in the corner checked out. Like, there is still this connection and this intimacy between you and your partner, even though somebody else is inside of you at that moment. And these are the things that people that are not into hot wifing listen to this and they're like, oh my God, how can you guys do this? It doesn't make any sense. you know,
totally.
I'll be in the middle of a gangbang and I'll look at my husband and he'll just say like, I love you, honey. You're so sexy right now. And to get to that point is really like a bold statement, right? That says a lot about your relationship, that you can have those personal, intimate moments with your partner while there's all these other people in the room. In the beginning, it was a little strange. We would like whisper it or, you know, like mouth it on the side behind someone's back. And now we just openly express our feelings to each other while we're with other guys. And they think it's pretty cool, actually, because when you're the third party, it's nicer to be with a couple that's really solid and on the same page and is really just enjoying this versus being with a couple where maybe they're not really getting along or they're doing this to fix something or they're not on the same page or one person is moody or one person is forcing the other person, right? Like that always makes it a little uncomfortable for everybody involved. So I think the more a couple is truly having a good time, the more that resonates with the other people in the room, and it just creates, you know, better energy for everybody.
Okay, so thank you for laying that out. I mean, like a really great like primer for the sort of setup that you have with you and your partner. I think you're right. Like, I think, you know, for anyone who's not into hot wifing or, you know, isn't maybe probably not even familiar with, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to get those types of responses of like, holy shit. Like, how do you do that? Or like, how does that work? Or, you know, how can you enjoy that? You know, I think it like really fucks with a lot of people's heads and minds when they hear this type of thing that's like not so typical. But to that point, how did you guys meet? How did you guys get to a point where like how did two people who find this thing that is atypical so enjoyable, how did you guys come together?
So we were both in the lifestyle separately before we knew each other. Ooh. I was a single girl, so I was a unicorn for a very long time. He was with somebody for a short period as a couple, and then they broke up, and then he was just a single guy in the lifestyle. So we've both had experience playing as couples, playing as singles, and we actually met just by like a chance of fate. We had a mutual guy friend that decided the three of us should have a threesome one night. So I showed up. I was living not in New Jersey at that time. And I drove an hour to meet this guy because my friend told me that I would definitely have the night of my life. And he had a full playroom in his house. So I was kind of intrigued and I said, okay, I'll give this a shot. So I show up, we have this like epically hot threesome. And then we ended up getting married like 4 years later, but no one expected that to happen. He wasn't setting us up to date. He just thought we would have like this one time night and that would be it. So the first time I met my husband, Jason, wasn't a threesome where he was technically sharing me with somebody else. But it's interesting how the first night we met, it was two guys and a girl. And now he shares me. It's two guys and a girl or multiple guys. So it's the same. Same kind of dynamic configuration, right? But there's a very big difference when the first night we met and we played as three friends, like just equal people, versus you're playing as a husband and a wife with another guy. That bond that you have with your partner completely changes the feel of the threesome. It makes it so completely different. And that's the hardest part to put into words and to describe to other people, like that excitement and that sensation. And it's so much deeper than just having a threesome, like with your friends and your pals or, you know, random people that you met on a site. When there is that love and, you know, a lot of times when we talk about marriage, basically society says if you're married, you're off the market. You guys are monogamous. Like no one can touch you now. And we break those rules, right? So we are living outside of that. And that kind of adds this like taboo, sexy element to it where, yeah, normally other people shouldn't be allowed to fuck me because I'm married. But now you have my husband like giving me the green light saying, yes, this is really hot. Let's do this. So it makes it kind of magnifies everything with you and your partner, right? And in any relationship, you need trust, you need communication, you need honesty, you need loyalty, you need respect. But when you bring other people into your relationship, everything is monumentally more important and you feel everything more intensely, if that makes sense. So a lot of people on the outside will say, well, if he's letting you fuck other guys, either your relationship sucks, you're not satisfied at home, your sex life is terrible, he doesn't respect you, right? But it's the complete opposite of that. Those are all completely untrue things. It's we love each other so much, our sex life is so amazing, we respect each other so much that we are able to do this and have it be a positive impact on us instead of like ruin our relationship, right? Because if you don't have that good foundation, this can 100% tear your relationship apart and just make everything like go to hell. So you need to be really open and honest and have all of these really painful discussions with your partner about every little thing that's going to happen, that has happened, that might happen on a date. And you can't like sugarcoat anything. You can't hide from anything. So it makes you so much closer. And also just you bond with people through shared experience, right? No matter what it is. So the fact that we are living this life together and we're going on these dates and sharing every play date together, that just gives you something that other people aren't privy to, right? Just those people in that room know what happened. And even if I tell you what happened, it's different than experiencing it for yourself, right? Like as the first person. So it just creates all of these other layers of your relationship that you don't get otherwise. And it's not just, you mentioned that, or we both mentioned that people that are not into hot wifing find this like a little crazy, but it's not just the vanilla world. Even a lot of swingers, like traditional swingers that only swap with other couples, have a very hard time wrapping their head around this. And me and Jason find this all the time. We'll go to events where it's couples only. There's no single guys to play with, but we just want to be in the environment where, you know, you can be in lingerie, you can, you know, have sex at a club or something. So we go knowing we're just going to have fun with ourselves. And we come across all these people that want to play and we try to explain what our dynamic is. And you just get all of these puzzled looks and this confusion. And, you know, if you're not the typical swapping couple, some people can't understand that. They're like, well, this is the only way to be a swinger. I think there's so many different ways, right? Life is constantly evolving. You have thruples, you have poly people, you have all of these different dynamics and hot wifing now where I still feel like they all fall under the swinging umbrella, right? But it's just how you want to treat that. Because people also say, well, you can't be a swinger if you're single. Well, I think you can. If you're living your entire life by hooking up with other swingers, you're not dating vanilla, you're on all these swinger sites, you're going to swinger parties, like, why can't you? Just because you don't have a partner, that's going to disqualify you from believing in this way of life, right? Because the lifestyle is, it's not just a physical action. It's literally like what you believe in and how you look at relationships and sex and all of these things. It's so much bigger. And I think it's unfair to exclude single people for that reason, right? Because I was single for a long time and I was strictly lifestyle and I was looking for a relationship in the lifestyle. So there's a lot of, you know, misunderstanding and judgment sometimes about what like your typical swinger looks like nowadays. But like I said, things are always changing and you have to kind of be willing to evolve and stay open-minded as the world gets a little more comfortable with these non-traditional dynamics.
Yeah, because when I think of the umbrella of swingers and the importance of like language in the situation where you're meeting people and describing the dynamic, like I've never heard, like I've obviously heard exhibitionist and voyeur, and it would make sense that those people would be drawn together as a couple, and that this dynamic would make a ton of sense if you identify as an exhibitionist and your partner as a voyeur. I've never heard stag and vixen before. So like, even when you go to these events and you describe your dynamic and you say like stag and vixen, do people understand what that is?
Absolutely not. And it's funny because we didn't even know that's what we were categorized as for a few years. And then I just happened to stumble upon I was Googling something online one day, reading about something, and I read this article about stag and vixen. And I was like, holy shit, I think that's what we are. Like, that makes so much sense to me right now. So, you know, sometimes you don't even know what you are. You just know what you're doing. And there are some stag and vixen couples, I think, where the husband does play also with women on the side. But for us, we, you know, there's playing and non-playing stags. But to me, a stag doesn't play. But that's my interpretation of it. So it gets, you know, a little tricky because, like I said, how I define something is going to be different than how the next person defines it. But as long as it's somewhat in that realm, I would say then it's true to that category. But yeah, we thought we were just like a regular hot wife couple. We didn't know there were so many differences. And it starts to get really interesting when you start to break it down. But now if you are in a community where there's, you know, a ton of hot wife couples, then yes, they're absolutely going to know what a stag and vixen are. If you're outside of that community, then they probably don't know what it is. So it, you know, all about education and awareness. And, you know, we're constantly learning things about other dynamics that we didn't know either, even though we've been in this world a long time. You know, you always meet somebody and they tell you something and you're like, oh, wow, I'm so glad you told me that because I wasn't aware of that. And it just brings a lot more knowledge and understanding that, you know, everybody is so different nowadays. It's just, you can be anybody you want to be. You can date whoever you want. You can be whatever relationship you want to be. Like, the possibilities are really endless, and I don't even understand all the dynamics out there because there are so many, right? There's different genders, different identities, and I think it's fantastic, but there are so many words and labels out there that it does get a little confusing sometimes, and it's really important not to get offended if people don't know what you are or understand. You have to be willing to just take a few minutes and explain it to them, because how else are they going to know? So, you know, it's so easy to get offended if somebody calls you the wrong thing. But if they have nothing to base it off of, like, it's just, it could just be, you know, an accident sometimes. And that's totally fine. I have no problem just being like, hey, guess what? That's not what we're into. This is what we do. And most people are usually open to it. Some people still just don't understand it, but they're like, okay, good for you. And that's really, you know, all I need.
Turn Me On Podcast will be back after this short break. I know that this, like, you know, we're talking about this from the vantage point of this being an integral part of your relationship with your partner, you know, an integral part of the way that you view yourself as a sexual being in the world. But we haven't really touched on the fact that this is like, this isn't just sort of relegated to your personal life behind closed doors, but like there's an aspect to all of this that is very much public and very much tied to like work that you do. Do you want to give us a little bit of insight into like how your lifestyle, how your you know, your the sexual sort of choices that you've made have kind of seeped into your work life?
Yeah, so many years ago, I think it was maybe 2017 or 2018, I ended up writing a book about my experiences in the lifestyle, kind of how I fell into the lifestyle and all of the emotional turmoil that I felt about being this person that was, you know, quote unquote, not raised to be a certain way, right? I was raised with really good morals, nice family values, and then here I am wanting to have sex with all of these strangers on the internet and be really promiscuous and go to sex clubs. And for some reason, I felt so much shame about that. It was a really hard process for me where I felt like two different people. You know, you have this vanilla life where you appear one way, and then behind closed doors, you behave a different way. And it becomes to the point where you don't know, like, who's the real me? Right? Am I one? Am I the other? Am I a combination of both? And I still think society, you know, treats women a little more harshly when it comes to being promiscuous than guys. That's just my opinion. And I think is all this shame and this judgment. And like, I just struggled with this so much. So I ended up writing this book, and it has, you know, sex stories in it and, you know, sexual adventures that I went on with people. So there's like juicy stuff in there, but a lot of it, or half of it probably, is just this battle with myself, my self-esteem, my insecurities. Like, why am I like this? I don't know how to set myself straight. How is anyone ever going to date me if they find out I'm like this? And then I wrote it and I got published and I didn't really do anything with it. I was kind of really ashamed that I wrote it. I didn't want to admit that I wrote it. I don't want people to know that's really who I am. So it kind of just sat in the background. And then I ended up writing a second book. And that one focused more on me coming to terms with the fact that, yes, I do like being in the lifestyle. I'm going to own it. I started getting into gangbangs and playing with multiple guys. So I interviewed some of the guys in the book. And again, I published it and didn't really say anything about it. I just kind of left it in the universe. And then I ended up meeting my now husband. And it was interesting because I had always told myself I wanted to keep writing until I felt peace and felt settled. So after I met him, he goes, I think you should write like the end of your story now. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Because I forgot all about it. He goes, don't you want to write a book saying that you found happiness now? I said, oh, you're totally right. So then I ended up writing a third book, and that's all about meeting my husband and our struggles to kind of find happiness together. And it ends with, you know, us getting married. But the interesting thing about us is that even though we met in a threesome, we were both in the lifestyle, like, it wasn't all just, you know, kittens and rainbows in our relationship. We fought each other so hard in the beginning. I was a total bitch because I was just so over guys treating me like garbage at that point. It was like the final straw. He met me at, you know, the worst possible time, where all these years I was looking for a boyfriend. And then I had just given up when I met him. So he was a total sweetheart and he really wanted to date me. And I was like, man, I don't know about you. I don't trust you. I hate guys. I just want to fuck you. And he really just kind of stayed with me and gave me space and gave me time to come around. And it ended up being the perfect match. But in the beginning, even though we knew we wanted to be in this dynamic where he was sharing me, we still struggled with, how do we do that? What does it look like? What is your expectation versus mine? Because they were very different. So it took us, you know, a while to get on the same page. So things are great now, but it took us a while. It wasn't like day one, we were just perfect. So I think that's really important to explain to people. And in my writing, and then we also have the podcast now where we talk about all the same stuff, it's really important to tell people that your journey in the lifestyle, or anything in life, right, it's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be easy. You are going to have so many failures, you know, with the successes, and that's totally fine. You just have to learn how to adapt to them, learn from them, grow from them. And I like to really talk about a lot of the bad times that I've had and the struggles, because I think that's reality, right? A lot of times you see on social media or maybe in TV that swinging is just so much fun. It's all sex all the time, hot people, orgies, you know, no problems. And that's so far from the truth. That stuff does exist, but it is a portion of what it's actually like. There is drama, there are feelings, there are, you know, nights of getting stood up, there are nights of bad sex, there are arguments with your partner. And if you don't know that going into it, I think you are setting yourself up for either a little disappointment or some problems, right? Like, when you're involving sex in anything, shit gets crazy. That's just, right? Nothing with sex is ever simple. So even though we're out there trying to have no string sex with people, it's still fucking complicated. And there's so much drama to be had. So you really need to just be aware of that. And if you don't have a really good sense of yourself and your identity and why you are doing things, it's really easy to go down that dark rabbit hole and just completely lose yourself and not even know, like, who you are or what you're doing anymore. And there's that fine line between being promiscuous and having fun versus, you know, feeling violated and vulnerable and used by people. So everybody, that limit's going to be very different. It took me a very long time to find my limit myself. And when you're testing it, there's going to be days where you wake up feeling like shit because you're like, why did I just do that last night? Like, what was the point of that? So you have to develop like this really tough, like core and just really know who you are. Because for me, that was my biggest struggle. I just kept losing myself and not knowing what I was doing or why I was doing it. And now I'm very clear on what my intentions and my motivations are. So it makes it a lot easier to deal with everything that happens. But people just want to focus on the physical part. And it's not. Emotions and, you know, your mental health is really important in situations like this. Like, you need to be grounded and stable. If you are trying to, you know, fill voids or, you know, mend issues and stuff like that, it can get really, really problematic. You want to be coming from a healthy space and not like a desperate or negative space, because those things are really going to impact how your journey goes.
Yeah. I wanted, like, pardon me for asking, but is this your, like, is sex your job? Like, is there, I know you're on,
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you mentioned that you write. Like, has sex been a part of your work life before this? Or do you have, like, some other career that is, like, not even a part of this world?
Well, I used to have a normal job. I actually went to culinary school, so I was a chef for a very long time. But I've been retired for a while. So I've been in, I guess, the adult industry for probably like a year and a half. The books have existed longer, but actively being on OnlyFans and, you know, camming and doing lifestyle guidance and like sex education, things like that, probably like a year and a half, I got really focused on it. And I absolutely love it. I think it is so important and so necessary. And it's something that people really struggle with. It's such a sensitive topic. There's so much judgment around it. Even just the fact to be, you know, have my face out there saying, hey, I'm a hot wife, my husband lets me fuck a bunch of guys. Like, that's a big fucking deal for a lot of people. A lot of people in the lifestyle are still so secretive and so hush-hush. They're worried about what friends and family will think. And then you add being an OnlyFans creator. You could get fired from your job for that if people find out. Like, it's so stupid to me. Mm-hmm. But there is all of this necessary necessary needs, that doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean? Like, where people are not able to be as open as they want to be. And I totally get that, but we're lucky because we don't have kids. It's just the two of us. We have parents, obviously, but we're in our 40s. We're adults. So we had a very long discussion about what does that look like if something happens because I'm doing all these things? You know, like, are we afraid of people finding out? Are we afraid of repercussions for stuff? And we agreed that we're willing to take the chance. We don't feel like we're doing anything inappropriate. This is totally normal for us. And I think the more that people are willing to come out and speak about what they're doing, right, we help to normalize things, right? You see it a lot now for all of these, you know, you have people speaking out for like trans rights, different sexualities, different relationship dynamics, being poly, all of these things, right? We're moving so far from what is considered traditional. And the way we do that is by making us seem like we are not threatening, because we're not. We're just normal people. But there is this idea that if you are doing all these sexy, kinky things, there's something wrong with you. You know, if people find out, they look at you differently. And it really shouldn't make any effect on how people are looking at you. If you're my friend and now you find out that I do this, like, why does that make you look at me differently? I'm still the exact same person. So I feel like it's really important to be out there and say, hey, this is totally acceptable behavior. We're not doing anything wrong. We're consenting adults. Everybody we play with knows what's going on. Nobody's being forced. There's always consent. So Like, what is the big deal? Like, why is sex so, like, taboo still? Like, I don't get it. And if you look at other countries, some of them are way more progressive than us. Sometimes we're more progressive than other countries, right? It just depends, like, what area you're in. But to me, I think it's so silly that being a sexually empowered person can be such a hindrance and can have, like, these fucked up consequences for you. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I'm wondering, have you lost friends or people in your life because of, like, whether it's your lifestyle privately or publicly? Have you had people?
Well, the crazy thing is that we have not been busted for all, like, we're on social media. I have a website. We're on OnlyFans. I'm on all these interviews. We have a podcast. No one has said anything to us in our regular life. It stayed very separate, okay. Even though we were waiting from, like, day one. I'm like, okay, when is it going to happen? So nothing has actually happened. In our personal life, we have started telling some people some things. Some people know we're in the lifestyle and they're okay with it. Other people, it's like, oh shit, maybe we shouldn't have said that. But we only give as much detail as people want. We're not out there saying, hey, guess what we did last night? We just say, hey, you know, we have an open marriage. We're not monogamous. If people ask us questions, we'll give them more information. But it's not something that you need to flaunt every juicy detail, right? It doesn't really serve any purpose. So we haven't really lost too many friends. You know, you have to read people. I'm not going to tell people if I know 100% they're not going to be able to deal with it. If I think they can handle it, I give them a little information. And it's just one of those things where we're not embarrassed by it, but other people are embarrassed by it when you tell them. So, you know, shame always is an outside source being pushed on you. I feel like it's never actually coming from inside you. If you're doing what you like, there's no reason to be ashamed of it. It's just how other people make you feel. And I used to be very, very swayed by that. So all those years where I thought I was so ashamed of myself, it really had nothing to do with me. It was just that I wasn't confident enough to ignore everybody for making me feel like I should be ashamed. And that's a very big difference. So once I ended up meeting Jason and, you know, we got very serious together, he was the one that kind of made me finally be okay with everything, because my biggest fear was always, what guy is going to want to date me if they find out I'm like this? And then I found someone that didn't want to just date me. He wanted to marry me because I'm like this. And I was like, holy shit, like, this actually exists, where there is this world where I can be myself and I can be happy in a relationship. And that was kind of a game changer for me. And he's also the one that kind of encouraged me to put my face out there and not be, you know, just a name or just words. He was like, put your face out there. If you're not embarrassed, then go for it. And I was like, holy shit, that's a really powerful way to, you know, support somebody. Like, you're telling me that you don't care what happens now. And he doesn't. And that's been so freeing for me and so exciting that I can just be myself and I don't have to watch what I say and I don't have to have this fear of losing him because I did the wrong thing. And he has never felt the shame that I felt. If you ask him, he goes, oh no, I loved being in the lifestyle. I thought it was the best thing ever. I never cared what people thought. And I was like, wow, that's really nice for you, because it was the complete opposite for me. It was so painful for me. So some of it is just your personal way of looking. Sometimes you are affected by other things, but he's just always been like, it's not a big deal. Like, why do you give a shit what people say? So I think we're a good combination together, where I know because we're both doing it, I feel like there's less heat on me, because I'm like, well, he's doing it too, so what's the big deal? You know, you have that group mentality where it gets easier to admit something because you're only 50% responsible for it. I'm like, you know, it's both of us. So it makes it a little easier to vocalize that now, for me at least.
That's cool. I love it. Yeah. I mean, this has been really fun, because it's like, this is it's reminiscent of, like, early days of Turn Me On. We haven't had a conversation like this in a while. And it's I just love, you know, I love getting a bit of insight and a peek into other people's sex lives that are outside of the sort of typical the box that society has sort of like deemed appropriate or deemed normal, quote unquote, right?
Yeah, and if you have a quick minute, there's something else I would like to add about hot wifing, which we didn't cover really. So is that okay?
Yeah, please.
So we've been talking about like me fucking other guys, right? Hot wifing. But there is so much more. People want to focus on that part. But before the date and after the date are actually the most important parts of hot wifing, because that is about you and your partner. So everybody's ritual is going to look a little different. But for me and my husband, sometimes he picks the guys for me and I don't know who they are. Other times we agree on the guys. Like, he's earned that right in my eyes to decide what he wants to see. So we'll plan a date and then he will shower me. He'll help me pick out my outfit. He shaves my legs. Like, he prepares me like this gift for other people. So we're building this connection and it's a very intimate like part of this process together. Then we go on the date. We have the sex session or whatever. And then the final part is going to be the reclaiming part. And that's like the highlight of the hot wife dynamic. This is what you're looking for. When you get to be like this filthy whore, do whatever you want. And then you go back to your husband's arms. He welcomes you back. And then he fucks the life out of you. Right? You are reconnecting. So you'll hear reclaiming sex all the time when you talk about hot wifing. And that's what it means. And sometimes my husband will fuck me during the date. Sometimes he waits till after. It's, again, it's whatever he feels like in that mood. But there's like the before the date and after the date. That's when we are really united. And the sex part is like fun and it's a part of it, but it's not the only part. And if that's the only part that you guys are focusing on, I feel like you are missing so much of the fun and the beauty of this dynamic. It's so much more about your emotional connection than anything. And then there's also like aftercare. So a lot of times people talk about aftercare and BDSM after, you know, a crazy session. But I like to say that it's important in hot wifing too. So after we have our reclaiming sex, we always kind of have a debrief about our date. What did we like? What did we not like? Was anything wrong? Did he, because he's into like a lot of like seeing like humiliation and degradation and crazy shit. So he'll say like, did I push you too hard today? We always have this really important check-in with each other. And then he'll say, what do you need from me? And that's really, really important because, again, there's that fine line between feeling like my husband just pimped me out and I'm like a piece of garbage versus my husband just pimped me out and I feel like a princess now, right? I want to feel like a princess after this. So he needs to make sure that emotionally I feel very close to him. I feel that he is very happy with what happened that night. And I want to be rewarded for that. Like, that's the bottom line. Like, you know, as the vixen, your goal is to make your husband happy so that he, in return, wants to make you happy. It's this, like, little cycle that you have. So aftercare could be, I want to cuddle on the couch. I want him to shower me again. I want to watch a movie. I want something to eat. It could literally be anything. But it's really important that you end every date closer than when you started. If you miss any of these steps, it can kind of like throw things off a little bit. And if you don't address it quickly, then it can just lead to you guys kind of feeling like apart from each other. You know, you never want to stop something and feel unsettled. So if we have, say we have a bad night together, we will not have another date until we have resolved whatever is bothering one of us. And it's really important that you have the voice to speak to your partner and say, hey, I did not like this. Like, what are we going to do about it? And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't need to lead to an argument or a fight or this massive blowout. It's about being honest and making sure that both parties are being heard and being respected, because a lot of people look at hot wifing as it's all about the wife. For me, it's 50% about me, 50% about him. If one of us is not happy, then it's just no point for me, right? This is not a selfish lifestyle, even though a lot of people think it might sound like it is. It's very, it needs to be balanced and equal. It's definitely about both people, as far as I'm concerned. and it needs to be like cherished and held with this, like, it has to be treated like it's something very important, because I think it really is.
I think that's my favorite thing about people who do consensual non-monogamy skillfully, is like, mm-hmm. it seems really elevated from like traditional monogamous couples, because you don't see a lot of traditional monogamous couples taking that kind of care in any realm of their relationship, let alone their sexual expression and relationship.
Yeah, it's like everything you laid out there is like,
I never had those conversations with vanilla guys I was dating. It was just like all surface right. level bullshit. But now you have to have these things, and that's what makes you mm-hmm. get closer, you know. And it's pretty crazy. It's the complete opposite of what people think it's going to be,
yeah.
or what, you know, they imagine in their head if they're not actually doing this.
Yeah.
I have one technical vocabulary question. The guys that participate in the threesome, what are they called?
So,
are they unicorns?
No. They're called bulls, right? So the guy would be the bull.
Okay.
Now, I read that for stag and vixen, it's technically a buck, because a bull is a very dominant guy, right? So he's going to come in mm-hmm. and kind of like take charge over the cuck in that situation. So okay. I've never actually heard anybody say, hey, I'm a buck. You know, everybody calls themselves bulls, all these guys, no matter who right. they're playing with. And I'm totally fine with that. Okay. We play with a lot of guys that identify as bulls. That's fantastic. But when they play with us, they change the energy level a little bit, and they know how to treat my husband. So I don't care what you call yourself, mm-hmm. right? As long as we are all on the same page, it's just a word. But yeah, I would say most people just use the word bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you.
I mean, that's like the, you know, that's the upside and the downside to labels.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to not have sex with you because you call yourself a bull. As long as you're respectful to my husband, yeah. I don't care what you label yourself as. It's really irrelevant to me, you know? So, yeah, labels right. can be important, but then they can also get in the way sometimes. So you need to be a little bit flexible.
Yeah. yeah.
Cool.
This has been great. Thank you so much, Casey. How, like, you know, people listening, how can they find you if they want to kind of keep up with the work that you do, or fuck, who knows, get involved?
Meet up maybe. With you.
Yeah.
So my website is caseydonatello.com, and then that has links for everything. It has all the books, the podcast, my OnlyFans, which is Hot Wife Life 869, and our OnlyFans page is all about being a hot wife. So you get to follow us on all our real life dates that we go on with all the guys we play with. You'll see reclaiming sex, you see solo stuff. So we like to make everything, the books, the podcast, and the OnlyFans, it's, you know, three versions of the same story. Basically, whether you like to listen, watch, or read, there's something for you, hopefully.
Cool.
Amazing.
Love it. Well, thanks again, Casey. This has been a real treat.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, there we have it, folks. Hope you enjoyed that conversation that we just had. And thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to support the podcast further, you can do that by leaving a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can simply rate the podcast on the Spotify mobile app. And if you want to support the podcast even further than that, which you can.
Wow.
You can
You're
go to
so kind and thoughtful and
so
generous.
Thoughtful, so generous. Go to patreon.com/turnmeon to become a patron and help us keep this podcast afloat.
Well, if you want to reach out to us, turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com is always open for all of your messages. That's the best way to get in touch. If you have a question for us, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you have a recommendation for a guest on the show, or if you just want to send us a little love note, email, money transfer, all of that.
Sex toy.
You know, we're our email inbox is open to you.
That is it for this week. Until next week.
Why don't you go touch yourself?
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.